bless you, Brother Allen. It's a real joy to be back at Faith Baptist. Been a while. You know, I've been a lot of places in my lifetime, and you got an unusual church. I like it, this spiritual atmosphere. I'm going to tell you something. I confess, first time they asked me to come up here, I agreed to come. So I know another Brother Mike, and then I got to getting apprehensive. You say, why? I just wondered if they'd take my southern drawl.
Oh, yeah.
And then the kind I was, I figured they'd be so dignified. Them Yankees like some of them did. But you know, I got up here and they got to singing. And I was going to get out of it if I could, but I didn't want to pull a Bill Clinton, what he is. So I told the Rollins, Ron Martin, that sings the Roland, we was in Burlington, North Carolina on the Jubilee, and I was preaching, and they were singing, some others was preaching too. And I told Brother Ron, I said, I got to find a way to get out of not going up there and not lie. He said, Brother Rayton, go. He said, they'll take you up there. I said, I surprised myself when we went up there to sing. He said, they loved that gospel singing like the old time way. I tell you, it's nothing like it, is it?
Amen.
I appreciate your pastor. Thank God for him. He's got a zeal for God, soul winner, and I'm grateful at what the God's done for him.
Amen.
And what's doing. You know, the best is yet to come for you and I. You say, why? Well, the Word of God says in Philippians 1:20, according to my earnest expectation, my hope, that in nothing I'll be ashamed. So now, as always, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether my life or my death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You know what I take at? We are a winner either way.
Amen.
We can't lose for winning if we're saved. But I want to tell you this. You're lost without God here this morning. What would it profit you if you gained the world and lost your own soul? I hope you'll think on your way if you're lost this morning and turn your feet to the testimony of the Lord Jesus. You have your Bibles this morning. I want you to turn with us to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 8, and we'll begin reading at verses 7. It said, that's kind of getting now a bit better, for he knoweth not that which shall be, and who can tell him what shall be? And then verses 8, there's no man that has power over the spirit, neither has he power in the day of death. And there's no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. And so I have seen and applied my heart unto every work that is done under the sun. And there's a time when one ruleth over another to his own heart. Notice verse 10. And so I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy. And they were forgotten in the city where they had also done. This also is vanity, because sentence against an evil work is not experienced speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men are fully set to them that do evil. Father, I ask you for help. I thank you, Lord, for the wonderful singing, the sweet spirit. I thank you for this church, this testimony that's known beyond this area. And I pray, God, you'd continue to bless them. And, Lord, they'll serve you till Jesus comes with a shout. I know, Lord, without you, I can do nothing. And I ask you for help that we might speak that would cause a sinner, Lord, to turn to the wicked way to the Lord, and the child of God to rejoice, because mercy rejoices against judgment, and they've received the mercy of God. And we'll thank you for that you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. You know the book of Ecclesiastes, why Solomon is a preacher. He starts out in chapter 1 about then the words of the preacher, the son of David. And then he said, all is vanity. Oh, everything, he had tried everything it was. You know, you can have it all. He had wisdom. He had riches. But then, you know something? He found out that that didn't satisfy you. He got to the thinking, and probably he is on up years when he wrote this book of Ecclesiastes and put it down. In the 12th chapter, he said, remember now, thy creator, the days of thy youth, when the evil days come, and thou shalt have no pleasure in them. You know, it tells about getting age older. And when you're older, he said, when the keepers of the house will tremble, that's when the hands get to the place that are. And then the strong man, the legs will bow themselves. I can't get around. And it says, when the sound of the grinders is so, and that'll mean back then they lost their teeth. They didn't have a dental thing. And there's few of them that they had at that time. And then also, he said, when the windows, the eyes out here, when they get so that they don't see, they dim. One time I had better than 20/20 vision. Now I just tell you that I got to have these glasses to read. And anyway, not only that, as he talk about it, about getting old, and then the things, a time to be born in chapter 3, and a time to die, and a time for every purpose under heaven. And so he said, after he had said all these things, that man then died, goeth back to his dust along home. But he said, as he closed out the 12th chapter, let us hear the conclusion. That's the end of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandment, for this is the whole duty of man. But I direct your attention to verse 10 here, where in chapter 8, where he said, and so I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and their name was forgotten in the city where they had so done. You stop to think about that. As he said here in verse 10, and he said, they were forgotten what they had done. This is also vanity. You know what I wonder? Right now, this is some of the saddest words in this passage of Scripture and in the book of Ecclesiastes. You say, why is that? Well, it tells me in verse 10 that there's a wicked come and went to the house of God. And brother, they did not turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. I was thinking when they sung that song, and I whispered to my wife, yes, I know. And Jesus' blood can set the vilest sinner free. I wondered then, knowing what God had laid on my heart to preach, if there's one or somebody lost here today. You heard that song. You heard the testimony of the missionary. You heard the saints of God. And yet, you come and went. And from Faith Baptist Church, there's no money. No, could really, only God himself knows that ones that come and went to the place of the house of God, they did not repent. They did not receive Jesus. They were not regenerated and born again. But you know something? They one day went out to meet God unprepared. What a pitiful thing that is to stop the thing. And as I already quoted, you know, these folks, I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy. And then as Ecclesiastes 3 said, a time to mourn, a time to be born, a time to die, and a time to other. Every last one of us, the very minute we were born, we started dying. I'm looking for the rapture. I want to cheat the undertaker. But if I don't, thank God, we're a winner either way. But let me tell you something. As you stop to think about it and look, I never have been sorry that I've trusted the Lord. I saved 65 years ago, and I've been preaching for 63. And I want to tell you, I've never been sorry. I don't regret a mile that I've traveled for the Lord Jesus Christ. I've seen a lot of people saved. Back when I started, I'm going to tell you now, you just expected you'd put up a flyer. These brothers talked about putting things on the doorknob and passing out. I've done that, but I want to tell you one thing. I could put up a revival poster, estimate of place, and if there's some lost people there, They'd walk over and look at it and say, well, you're having a revival meeting. I'm going to try to come a night or two. Now the church members, you know what they do? They'd say, well, we're having a revival. If nothing don't happen, I'll try to come a night or two. I mean, that's pathetic when you get there. That's why we're not seeing the things done that we did at one time. I want to tell you, one year that I pastored the church, the man right now, my wife's brother, is pastor and had been married for 42 or 3 years. And anyway, one year, I did not have a Sunday, but what we didn't have people say. We didn't have a baptistry. And brother, we had to wait till it got warm enough to baptize out there in the river. We hadn't missed a Sunday. That's one already. I baptized 43 people the first time. 8 weeks later, I baptized 46. I baptized 105 people that was members of the church and had others saved. Got to be at that time. I preached on the creek bank like John the Baptist. You say, well, why? That wasn't a good place. Well, I had people saved. I tell you what, I visited the place. I'll share an experience or two with you and then get on the message. But right where above we baptized that, there at the river, there was a little old convenience-like store, apartment upstairs. And we went there to visit some that had got saved at church, was their sister. Boy, she was smoking a cigarette, and her husband had called him into work. We didn't go in the house. I witnessed to her. She brought the smoke towards me and said, I don't want nothing to do with church. You can preach my funeral. I said, sister, I'm going to pray for you. But you know something? I'd written a little tract, and God moved upon my heart. Only one ever did. I was after I'd preached a message in Job 16:19, and that God had used that to touch many hearts. And also now, behold, my witnesses in heaven and my records on high. The Lord woke me up about 1:30 in the morning, and it was just like a light, fluorescent light around. And the Spirit of God said, condense that message down. And I'm not a printer. I don't know anything about the layout. But when the Holy Ghost tells you something, it's the right thing to do, isn't it? And so he said, put the Spirit of God then. Put on the front of that track, what is your record with a big question mark? And put a book down there, your record. And I started out. And brother, we printed 5,000 of them. Sent them to the mill on Tuesday up there where people's working. I got to getting calls. It's a break time. And they said, pray. These folks read that track. They want to meet with us at Breaktown. They called me back at 12 and said 3 got saved. And then they said again, some others is interested. For that evening, there's 7 got saved in that one plant. And then they called me and said they wanted to be baptized this Tuesday evening. You say, didn't you vote them, take them in the church as a candidate? Well, the Ethiopian eunuch didn't get voted in. He just got baptized, he believed. And so I stood there, you know, and this person I preached in, people got to stop and start baptizing. They didn't know what was going on. Well, God knew what was going on, and he knew what he was doing. And so they got to stop. It's what's going on. I could hear him say, I was preaching on the Ethiopian eunuch, the 8th chapter of Acts. And so, you know, when he come to a certain body of water, he said, see, here's water. What does hinder me if thou to be baptized? Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. He said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Brother, I'll baptize somebody on that. Yeah. And so, you know something, I give the invitation. They sang it. And we started to go down the river. About that time, one come up and said, I want to get saved. That made 8. And then, boy, by the time I got to the water, right across, I saw that woman that I witnessed to some time back, standing up there looking over to see what is going on. And you say, what happened then? Well, I tell you, I didn't think about it. About the time I got to the edge of the water, I heard like that. You say, what was it? That woman running across it. I didn't know. She run up there and her sister got saved in the meal. She said, honey, what's wrong? What's wrong with you? She said, there's nothing. Everything's right now. I just asked Jesus to come in my heart. I'm going to be baptized. That woman looked at me and she said, preacher, I want to be saved. I'm sorry. I said, all right. And brother, when I led her to God, you know what she said? She had slacks on. Said, will you baptize me in my slacks? I said, God saved you in them. Come on in the water. Had nine saved right then. I'm going to tell you, God knows what he's doing. And he still, I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and their name was forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is vanity and vexation of the spirit. You say, why has people come to faith, Baptist church, come in here lost without God, left unsaved, and then maybe died lost without God, that heard the preacher preach the word of God, tell you the way of salvation, warn you to free from the wrath to come, and they still didn't pay any attention of it, and you say, what caused them to do that? I want to tell you about three things of why that they're going to hell from the place of the holy or the pews of the church. First of all, they rejected God's warning. In Mark 9:42, the Lord Jesus Christ warned. You know, he warned people, and he said, listen, he warned them and said, if your hand offends you, cut it off. It's bitter in the life, but with one hand and it is to hell where the worm dies not and the fire's never quenched. He said, if your eye offend you, pluck it out. It's better to go into life with one eye than it is to hell where the worm dieth not and the fire's never quenched. He said, if your foot offends you, cut it off. And said, it's better to enter into life whole than it is to go to hell out here with 2 feet. I'm going to say what Jesus is saying. Drastic measure. Don't let anything. Your eyes is what you see with. Your hand is what you work with. Your feet's what you walk with. He said, listen, there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There's too many people, they rejected the words of the Lord. They're walking in the ungodly. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel ungodly, stands in the way of sin to see the sinner, and brother keeps people when an ungodly this person, you know, in Ephesians 2:1, he said, and you has he quickened. That word's mean made alive. Where were we? We were dead in trespasses and sin. Where in time past, every child of God, you ought to rejoice and think about every once in a while where you was at in time past. We walked out here according to the course of this world.
Right.
The way right now do it. And according out there to the other. But it says, thank God, but God. I like that. Hallelujah. That's rich in mercy. For his great grace wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, has quickened us, raised us up out of the horrible pit and the mire clay, set our feet on a solid rock like the 40th Psalm said, established our going. Thank God he brought us out of the mire and put us in the choir, singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. And listen, I'm going to tell you now, raise us up. Brother, it been made us set together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And in the ages to come when we're with the Lord, every bit of praise we got here won't be nothing. We'll see the King in his beauty, as Isaiah 33:17, and we'll behold that land that's very far off. Hallelujah. I've not seen it, but I've experienced it. But one day we will. They go, they rejected. I hear the words of warning. They couldn't pay attention to the word of God. And then another thing they did, they resisted the Holy Spirit of God. I don't care what the white hyper Calvinists say. I know there are 5 points of Calvinists. Tulip, T-U-L-I-P. That means total depravity. And then U, they put unconditional election. L is limited atonement. That's a lie. Thank God. Amen. It's not no unconditional election that God chose. God offers salvation to every man. I believe man's as bad off as it be, but there's people that's not saved that lived a fairly decent life. And God's going to judge every man that goes to hell, woman, boy, or girl, not by what, by the way that they lived. Everyone will give an account to God. And then that word limited atonement, the Bible tells me that he tasted death for every man. And so then it says irresistible grace. You say, well, they can't do it. Oh, yes, it did. You know what? They resisted the Spirit of God here that come and went for the house of God. You know what? Stephen stood up and preached to those folks when he did out there and before they stoned him to death. He said in Acts 7:56, you stiff-necked, uncircumcised at heart, as your fathers did, so do you. You always resist the Holy Ghost. Don't tell me you can't resist. Put him off. I've seen people. Brother, I had one. I've had people to lay on my shoulder and cry that I begged to get saved by the grace of God. I said, I feel bad about it. Something tells me you better get saved now. Preacher, I'll get saved next Sunday night. I'll be here. And said, I want you to baptize me. But on Saturday night, brother, that person, they's in a wreck. They figured it's going 110 mile an hour. Several of them in it. That car went five, got airborne, went 500 foot right on a straightway. He is killed and went out to lost without God. Denied before that, he said, I'm going to get saved. Yeah. You try to preach a funeral to something like that. The only thing I could say, they're in the hands of a just God, a merciful God, a long-suffering God. Yeah. But everything, remember your Creator today is you. He was a teenager. I've seen men weep out here that's 40, 50 years old. I led a man to the Lord, the oldest one ever won to God was 84. That man had been in prison. He had been in the sheriff of the county, back in probation. The sheriff, chief deputy, and this man, the third in rank of deputy. They bought moonshine whiskey from others and arrested and sold their cell, and sold it their cell. And they got arrested. They spent time in the penitentiary. The sheriff did. The deputy sheriff there in the county that I live in now. But anyway, you know something, this man got out. He was wicked. He'd ride with me when I hauled me or go to Hillville, Virginia. And he could curse when I was lost without God. It made me feel bad. I mean, he's just a wicked man, brother. His wife was a dedicated Christian. Brother, she prayed for him. His daughter was. And listen, you know something? His wife didn't get to see him saved, but she looked over the battlements of glory and saw it happen. And you say, what his daughter said? Come talk to my daddy. That December day, he is laying in there. And brother, I got to telling him, his name is Sam Boyd. I said, Sam, you need to give your heart to God. You're 84 years old. God's been good to you, and you could be cut off. And what would it profit if you gained the whole world, lost your soul, told him how to be saved? His hollow eyed, the tears filled up in his face, rubbed down his face, woo! Brother Allen, yeah. And he come out with a trembling hand. He said, preacher, will God save me? Hallelujah. He come to seek and to save that which is lost.
Amen.
I went back to see him and didn't get to baptize him. He died in March. Just turned 85. Wanted me to baptize him and the waters got warm enough. No baptistry out there. Just cold creek. You waited for that. I went by to see him. Tried to encourage him. I went in there and he had a look on his face. And he's sitting there with his head down. I said, what's wrong, Brother Sam? Are you doubting your salvation? He said, no. I'm not doubting, I know I'm saved. This broke my heart. He said, I've lived 84 years, lost without God, and now I found out what living is. Amen. And said, I'm ready to die, and I can't do nothing for the one that done so much for me.
Yeah. Amen.
They still hope. They resisted the Spirit of God. And not only that, my clothes, they refused God's invitation. What to go? You give invitation for people to come. God's people, if they slipped away from the Lord, to get back to the Lord. And then that sinner to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're invited. You say it is. Yes, indeed. You know what? They refused the invitation of the Lord for salvation. You say, well, how you know? Because, brother, they come and gone from the place of the holy. Wicked is buried. And, brother, their name was forgotten in the city. And then this is vanity. They lived a life. God give them water to drink. God give them a roof over their head. God give them food to eat. God give them clothes on their back. They never look up. Like we used to say back there, when like a hog out here under acre trees. They just eat the acres and never looked up where the blessings come from. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above. The Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow turning. And Brother James tells us, and I'm going to tell you, everything you got, if you're lost without God, God's permitted for you to have it. God's long-suffering for you. God's not willing that any should perish, but you had come to repentance. Oh, Jesus wept over Jerusalem. You say he did. Yes, that's what Brother Luke tells us. But in Matthew 23:7, he said, oh, Jerusalem, he had been in a temple. He had said that to money changers again. And then he stepped out of the temple for the last time. He looked at and over Jerusalem. And he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that were sent unto thee, how often would I gather thy children together as a hen gathers her chicks under a wing, but you would not. You say, well, okay, it didn't say they could not. He said they would not. And I want to tell you, if you go to hell from Faith Baptist Church today, after you've heard the songs, after you've heard the testimony, and the reason you go out these doors lost without God, it's not that you could not be saved. It's because you made that decision to go out yourself. Amen. I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy. In the 9th chapter over there, the verse, it said about men that are in sin and women, said madness is in heart while they live. And after they go to the grave, they'll remember. Just like Luke 19, where Luke 16:19-31, when that the Lord spoke this, some say it's a parable. You don't find no parable where he calls names. If it was a parable, he is still teaching the truth. But he called Lazarus and he said, a certain rich man, clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there's a certain beggar named Lazarus laid in his gate, wanting the crumbs that fell from a rich man's table. And he had sores. The dogs moreover come and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried, thank God, by the angels. He might have had a beggar down here, but I tell you right now, he had a certain good pallbearers. You know, you got angels signed to you. He said, woe the world because of offense, Jesus did. But offenses have come. He said, it's better for you if you offend one of these my little ones that the millstone was put around your neck and you was cast in the sea. And he said, why? Because in my Father in heaven, their angels appointed one to them. Always behold. I've been a few times in my life, and I know the angels had to just put their heads around me. But anyway, the angels probably carried him to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And as soon as he did, he is clothed in purple and fine linen. Purple was royalty, the ruling class. And he fared sumptuously every day, had more than his heart could desire. And the crumbs. And when he died, no doubt they preached his funeral. They talked about what a great person he was, but the Lord said, in hell he lifted up his eyes. Being in torments, seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger, not a drink, just the tip of it, in water and cool my tongue. If I'm tormented in these flames, I got a sermon I preach on tormented memories. But anyway, he said, son, remember, in thy lifetime you received your good things. As I told you, a roof over your head, clothes on your back, food on your table. If you got an automobile, God helped you to have strength enough to buy it, whether you realize or not. Yeah. Anyway, he said, son, remember in your lifetime you had your good things. Likewise, Lazarus evil. Now he's comforted, and thou art tormented. The tables had changed, hadn't they? A beggar, thank God, was in the presence of the king. The rich man was in hell. And then he said, I want you to do one other thing. Father Abraham, I've got five brothers that's on the way to hell. I want you to send Lazarus that he may testify to them. And they'll repent. The Lord said, they have Abraham and the prophets. He said, yea, but if one went from a dead, he said, if they don't believe him, they won't believe out here if one rose from a dead and testified. Amen. You say, why? There's some, and no doubt that man went to the house of God and the royalty of others, and he went to the house of God and was buried and honored highly, probably in the ruling class, but he lifted up his eyes in hell when it was too late. You know something? He got missionary-minded. He wouldn't beg for mercy here, but he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. He didn't ask to be saved. It's too late to be saved. But he said, dip the tip of his finger in water. Not a drink, not a swallow. Why, tip a finger in water wouldn't even cool your tongue much.
Yeah.
If I'm tormented in these flames.
Yeah.
Did you think about it? Where the worm dies not, and tormented, they made their choice. It wasn't that they could not be saved. It's because they would not. They rejected the stiff-necked, uncircumcised, and father, and circumcised in ears. You resist the Spirit of God and refuse the invitation. But we're going to give one, and you don't rest. God's speaking to you, warning you. I'm going to tell you this day. Today is a day of salvation. You don't have a promise tomorrow. Now's accepted time. Boast not thyself for tomorrow, for a man knoweth not what a day will bring forth, Proverbs 27:1, and he that being often reproved, hardened his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and there be no remedy, to be too late then. I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy. Their name was forgotten in the city where they had so done. They'd been buried, people forgot about it in a little while. They said, oh, so-and-so died when his obituary or her. But I want to tell you one thing. They haven't forgot. Like a rich man in the 16:19-31, the Lord said, son, remember. They remember. They remember that if you die and go to hell, from Faith Baptist Church here in hell, you'll remember hearing Jesus. Blood can save the vilest sinner free. You can hear a message. Remember that this man's preached and warned you and wept over you for you to come to God. You'll remember them opportunities, others that pled with you and prayed for you. You'll remember that.
Yes, sir.
But it'll be too late. But you can come this morning. Don't be like that foolish one going to hell from the pew of the church and the place of the holy. and rejecting God and dying, and it's too late. Father, I pray, Lord, that you somehow or another speak to that heart that's lost without God. They won't resist the Spirit of God. They won't refuse God's invitation, but they'll come to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning to be saved. I ask you, Lord, to deal with that child of God, Lord, that's kind of drifted away, got cold on God. Lord, that they'll realize somehow, even in this, more to preach to the lost, that they'll get back, repent, and do the first work that, Lord, you want them to do and be doers of it, not hearers only of the Word of God. In Jesus' name, head bowed, eyes closed. I wonder if it's...